But anyway, joining us now, Todd McGreevy from River City's Reader. How's it going, man?
Going well. In the morning, AD.
Yes.
Good to hear from you.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are in the morning. I've got the latest issue here.
Yeah.
And you guys went kind of Halloween themed here. Issue 1014, 1014. I want to suck your speech. And
yeah.
I got to be honest, until I read this article by your wife, Kathleen McCarthy, I didn't even know what the CISA was.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people have ever heard of CISA, C-I-S-A. That's the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency. Yet another, you know, alphabet soup that the government has a bunch of funding to carry on. And the CISA organization was originally set up to monitor foreign activity to protect our election integrity, right? Because all the foreign countries
yeah,
were...
that's real healthy. Our election integrity is real
healthy. And guess what? It worked. Yeah, right.
Yeah, even though it was reported on National Public Radio years ago that our own government goes out there and manipulates dozens and dozens of elections worldwide. We do it abroad, but now we have a new agency to make sure that it doesn't happen here. But meanwhile, CISA got turned its eye of Sauron, if you will, into its own people here in America, and that's what this story is all about. And there was a House committee on the Judiciary and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. And the report that came out about this back in June, and Kathleen did a deep dive of this report because it was just really, really well written, and it pointed out a lot of the stuff that came out in that case down in Missouri, state of Missouri and Louisiana versus Biden lawsuit about the government manipulating social media, getting them to take stuff down, censor people's posts on Twitter and Facebook and so forth. Well, this report was out in front of that, if you will, back in June, and it talks about how they... This is, you know, quiet under the radar expansion from that of a foreign surveillance mission to one that includes domestic surveillance and censorship. Have incorporated numerous third party partners. They use NGOs to help with this whole process. And the kicker here is that the CISA justified their activities. The director Jen Easterly said in November of 2021, one could argue we're in the business of critical infrastructure. The most critical infrastructure is our cognitive infrastructure. So building that resilience to misinformation and disinformation, I think, is incredibly important. So effectively, they want to suck your speech. They want to censor.
You practiced that, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah. So your speech is critical infrastructure. And because, you know, the government must be, you know, the nanny state must take care of everything, then we have to manage your speech. So... there's a lot more there, but that's the gist of it.
I gotta be honest with you. Well, this reminds me of what, you know, Jason Bone came in and talking about the Neuralink thing and how many people actually already have that and all that stuff. And a lot of that just seems like it's kind of all in the same fishbowl.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now this type of overreach is swirling around in multiple facets as we speak. Just it's like the boiling frog. You've heard that whole metaphor, right?
No. Well, refresh me, please.
Maybe Gary can use that as one of his definitions coming up. The boiling frog.
Yeah. You put them in cold water and slowly turn the heat up. They never sense that the heat's gone up and they cook themselves.
They just take a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slowly, yes. Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
Todd, is this stuff, is this agency going to be the one that controls, like, you know, AI's doing all that stuff now where, like, have you seen the one where they can make, like, still pictures talk? So that just means that you can just get a picture of, like, a politician, maybe, and then you can just have them say whatever you want them to say, and then that can be sent out to masses to say, hey, you should vote this way. And be like, hey, you know, Trump told me to vote for this, you know, but
right.
Really he didn't. I wonder, is that agency going to be monitoring all that stuff, too, like AI stuff?
Potentially. Yeah. Potentially. I mean, heaven forbid that people would just actually do their own research and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work, man. I'm like, I got Candy Crush going here, and this is like my best round ever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know how you make people care more about what's going on behind the curtain. You know, I'd like to know how many of these abbreviated agencies even exist in our government now, because it used to be I thought there was the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and that was about it. But there's like a bazillion of them.
Yeah, there's a list out there that goes on and on and on, and it's actually quite stunning. I couldn't tell you the exact number. I'm guessing it's in the hundreds.
That's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where do these guys get funding?
Yeah. Well, it gets the $10,000 toilet seat explanation, right? Yep. Like, toilet seats don't really cost 10 grand, but we use the rest of that money for this. Well, I got to tell you, speaking of where the money goes, the story about the state of Illinois and the Safety Act. Now, I read, so per state law now, counties are required to have a public defender. But then it talked about how many of Illinois' counties, and this is the story by Rich Miller on page 5, about how many of Illinois' counties, actually 62 out of 102 Illinois counties have fewer than 35,000 residents total. 50 of them, which is about half, have less than 25,000 residents. So I could see where you might have an itinerant public defender, sort of like judges used to be that way, and move around. But what shocked me the most out of this whole story, because, I mean, to me, Illinois is known for shenanigans. They only give $10 million to Cook County for public defenders. That's it. Are they just, you know,
Actually, that read that again. Public defenders outside of Cook County.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. So outside of Cook County. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. So that's... Yeah. Where does the money go, man? Where does all the Illinois money go? What are they doing with all the money? Because they're not fixing roads. I know that for sure. Not unless you're in Chicago, apparently. I don't understand. $10 million? I mean, that's a billion is a way more common, you know, use now than million because of inflation or whatever. But $10 million for the whole state outside of Cook County? That doesn't seem like a lot of money.
To support a new law that is very controversial and can be manipulated either way. That is, you know, who should be detained, who shall not be detained after having an arrest and having bail or no bail.
Right. Now, have you heard some of the sheriff's comments on this? Some of the folks that are getting let out on this deal?
Refresh me.
Well, so they had a guy, this was early last week, because I was gone for a few days. He was in a standoff with police, armed, already on bail for something else, turn them loose.
Goodness.
And there's a lot more of that, obviously, but it's a little spooky because already when you read the paper, a majority of the crimes, at least half, again, if not maybe 2/3 or 3/4, are committed by people already out on bail for something else anyway. So now it's just like all those people are out on bail all the time. So of course crime's going to increase, but then you got, you know, flash mobs going off in Chicago where they don't make arrests because I feel like the mayor up there is trying to get the numbers down. Like, well, since I've come into office, we've only made this many arrests. It's because we just let people go. But, you know, we don't have to bring that up, right?
Well, then meanwhile, there's the FBI report I heard you talk about earlier today that says the crime is down 1.7%. Violent crimes are down 1.7%. And I heard you guys talking about how statistics can be manipulated any way they want.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I don't think, anecdotally, I think if all of us think about what's happened in the last year around where we live, I don't think that's accurate. So
I don't either. Maybe it's in counties with less than 15,000 people. They just forgot to put that part in. I don't know.
There you go.
Selective memory, you know, like, oh, I don't know.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry. I kind of steered you off a tangent because we were talking about Kathleen's story about the CISA. And we got to talking about money because I just don't understand where the money goes in the state of Illinois. Like, you see Iowa's got a $2.3 billion in COVID money still sitting around. They're trying to figure out what to do with. Where'd Illinois' COVID money go? You know?
Well,
in briefcases? It left in cash stacks? Like, what?
Well, look up a program called Advantage Illinois. It's an economic development tool that the state's trying to use. I think a lot of money went into that, Advantage Illinois. Which helps people, small businesses, leverage, you know, their local banks for better rates and so forth. I think that's where some of the money went.
Just so you're aware, Todd, I actually know information on that because I was trying to use it, and I got to tell you, the hoops they make you jump to get to that, I don't think they want to lend anybody any money.
Yeah, I think it's not as all cracked up to be. It being that program.
No. Like they have these weird, like, little, well, you got to be a business with this size. You got to do this. You got to do that. We want to see all your personal financial stuff. We want to see this. And I'm like, I thought you already have the money. Like, why do I got to prove to you all this stuff? You know, because I own a business and I'm trying to get the loan. And they're like, well, we want your personal stuff too. And I'm like, but the business is supported enough, right? And they're like, nope, we don't care about that. So it's crazy.
Ask what kind of toothpaste you use, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, some of the stuff...
They can sell some market research out of the deal.
Yeah, they were getting some pretty hefty stuff they were asking. I'm like, wow, you know, should I just have you monitor my life for like a week? Is that what you're looking for?
Right, right. Did you see the column, A Climate of Skepticism, by Joel Lorenzen, by the way? Did you see that column?
New columnist,
page 10. Joel Lorenzen lives in Rock Island. He publishes a column on Substack called Uncommon Sense, and we published one of his essays called A Climate of Skepticism, where he recounts going out west and being in a Uber ride with and noting that the woman noted that the pine trees were going down because of the pine beetle. She asserted that human-caused climate change caused shorter winters, so the cold that would normally kill an invasive pine beetle was no longer killing the beetle, so the beetle was killing the trees. This was new information to me. I accepted her premise and haven't researched it since. The following conversation with her is paraphrased. We really need to do something about this, she said, shaking her head. We're killing everything on the planet, except the pine beetle, obviously, I said, accepting humor.
The pine beetle.
Which turned out to be a mistake. I detected a look of disgust when she glared at me in the rearview mirror. You know, and it goes on about what happens and so forth. And he goes on to explain, you know, that he went and looked up all the stats about heat and, remember, everybody's, you know, the sky is falling, it's hotter than ever, and he went and looked up all the statistics about heat. It's not true. What was reported is not accurate. The headlines are not accurate. But he says he approached several high school teachers with the following idea. Each year for the next 5 years, I would provide a $1,000 scholarship to the winner of an essay contest answering this question. If global warming was not caused by humans, how should we adapt? I would enlist independent judges to gauge each essay on its argumentation, structure, and scientific and philosophic merit. I had no takers. I thought the premise would be eye-opening. They thought the premise was potentially damaging, even a simple thought experiment. So, skepticism rejected. And what he says is, you know, this is how the trap gets set. The non-skeptics are lulled into hapless orthodoxy, and the skeptics are quieted into non-participation. And I think he really summed up the conundrum we face dealing with such issues.
Well, I don't know, obviously I'm not a scientist, not even close, but for me it seems like the weather change, you do keep seeing the reports about, well, this year was warmer, and he's got years where, okay, well, this was colder these years,
right?
And so he's got some data here, but it seems to me like we just have more extreme weather is what I've, in the last 5 years, I mean, what the hell's a derecho? I didn't know until it happened, and it was supposed to be, you know, the forecast that day was scattered thundershowers, yeah, and we had 100-mile-an-hour winds. Like, we had a land hurricane, legit land hurricane. I never heard of that before in my life. I'm not saying that they didn't exist before or whatever, but it seems more like winter might be crazier, summer might be crazier, storms might be crazier. We get 4 inches of rain in, you know, a couple hours versus a few days. It's stuff like that. That seems to be, to me, the heat thing is, it does seem hotter, but yeah, if you look at the data, I'm sure there's, you know, it's probably not much different than what we've seen over the course of a long time. Although they do report what? That we've had some of the hottest years in the last 10 years. We've had 3 or 4 of the hottest on record. I wonder if we've also had 3 or 4 of the coldest.
3 or 4 what?
3 or 4 of the hottest years on record since like 18.
Oh, and coldest. Yeah.
I'm wondering if we've also had some of the coldest, because it seems like if there is something going on, it's not just necessarily hotter, but it's just more extreme. Everything's more extreme.
Well, I told Joel that maybe the reader should partner up with him and promote this scholarship contest for the essay. And maybe we get a few more takers, and maybe we should get that going.
So I love that, man. That's a great idea. Well, you know, let's get some information out there and see what people think.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, it's not only just controversial issues in the River Cities Reader. We do have, you know, arts and culture, and we have the area's largest calendar of events of what's happening in the Quad Cities. Everything from visual arts to concerts to theater, dance, comedy, museums, festivals, lectures, civic meetings, senior and kid events, and of course, live music calendar co-sponsored by Vintage Radio 107.7. So
that's us.
Yes.
So many activities in here, Tom.
I've heard of that station.
Yeah, so many activities. I love. Of course, we love what you guys do. I love your research. I love your, you know, you bring stories like the CISA. Again, I didn't even know that was a thing. And you guys do your research. You have your sourcing, and I gotta tell you, Jason Burmis, I can't tell you how many calls, emails, comments that we got from him. Who is this guy? Are you going to have him back on?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Where can we access what he was talking about? I mean, it was the reaction was one of the biggest ones we've ever had for anyone. And I mean, we've talked to Charlie Daniels on this show. So that's, you know, that's a huge compliment in my eyes. Cause, you know,
I love it.
Charlie Daniels is a god. So, yeah, Jason Burmis, man, we'd love to get you guys back out here for another roundtable sometime.
Absolutely. We'll make it happen. Jason Burmis, BERMAS.net. Go there if you want to check out him. And he has his own broadcasting that he does every day. So there's tons of content out there. And he had a great time. He was excited to do it. So we'll do it again, definitely.
Well, and that would be great. And obviously, everybody, check out the River City's Reader this month. Go to rcreader.com if you're a snooty internet person who doesn't like print publications. And we're covered, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Thanks a lot, AD. You guys have a great day.
Always, all right, buddy. Thank you. Tom McGravy, River City's Reader, and we'll...